Thanks so much for listening to another podcast episode of Complex Identities. This is your host, Juan Marcos Bejarano Gutierrez. In the previous episode, we focused in on the exaltation of Moshe Rabbeinu. We looked at the book of Ecclesiasticus, the wisdom of Sirach. We looked at the testament of Moses. We looked at another document as well. And of course, they characterized Moshe Rabbeinu as an individual that in many ways was highly exalted beyond any normal human being. And in the introduction, at least as far as the description was concerned, I made mention of the perspective of Rabbi Judah Lowe and his view of Psalm 90, but I didn't elaborate on it in the actual podcast episode. And so one of the listeners asked if I could do so, and I thought that it would be appropriate to do so because it does highlight potentially this issue that we're looking at, which of course is the manner in which the Clementine literature may have developed its unique Christology. So looking at Psalm 90, and I should add that sometimes I refer to the Maharal, that's an acronym for Moreno Harav Judah Lowe, or sometimes I just refer to Rabbi Judah Lowe. Looking at Psalm 90, he translated the last part of the phrase, Tefillah LeMoshe Ish HaElohim, the prayer of Moses, the man of God. Instead, he translated it as Moses, the man God. Literally, Ish Elohim. Now, of course, in that context, it's a construct form, but the point is that this is the way that the Maharal is interpreting it. The implication was that Moses was divine and human. The Maharal explains Moses is called a man-god because he was like an intermediary between the celestial and the terrestrial. For an intermediary is fused of both elements. Now, there's no indication that the Maharal was familiar with the views of Philo of Alexandria, who had expressed something similar 15 centuries earlier. The Maharal, or Rabbi Judah Lowe of Prague, continued to blur the lines between the divine and human realms when he stated the following, quote, within the human being dwells the soul, which is a spark of God. Now, the implications of the Maharal's view can be seen. Just like an individual flame is part of the greater fire, so too is the human soul part of the divine. The grandeur of Moshe Rabbeinu notwithstanding, every human being, not just Moses, is also part human and part divine. The Maharal's views were not unique. Rabbi Elijah de Vidas, a student of Rabbi Moses ben Jacob Cordovero, and also of the Arizal, that is Rabbi Isaac Luria, the founder of Lurianic Kabbalah, interpreted Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 9, which states, Ki chelek Adonai amo, for the portion of the Lord is his people, as meaning instead that, quote, the soul of each member of the people of Israel is an actual part of God. Somewhat surprisingly, as Rabbi Byron Sherman of Blessed Memory, my teacher, noted, while traditional Christianity embraces the idea that each member of the church is a member of Christ's body, it limits the incarnation and the idea of divinity to Jesus alone. Now, within our discussion on the Clementine homilies and the Clementine recognitions, there's no indication that this idea is effectively accepted in all its dimensions. But what it does is it provides us with some understanding of how the Clementine recognitions may have been able to draw its understanding. Now, it's interesting as well, if we look at Hasidic literature, there's an interesting elaboration of the idea of being connected to God in the writings of Dov Ber, the Maggid of Mezrich. The Maggid stated that each command is a limb of the Shekhinah. And so again, we have this idea that divinity is in many ways distributed to those who keep the commandments. And in the context of the Clementine literature, obedience to the commandments, of course, is extremely important. And the true prophet's role is the true interpretation of the Torah. So again, we don't have a one-to-one correlation, but what we do find, I think in many ways, is a possibility of how the Clementine recognitions and the Clementine homilies understood text that they were interpreting, whether they be in the New Testament or whether they were in other documents, as well as in the Tanakh, and how they configured this idea of the true prophet as the ultimate expression of their Christology.